This is the Monday Mindset Podcast, where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 55.
And this week, it's Daisy's turn to share something with us. So Daisy, what do you have?
Well, Terry, this week I am back again with Just One Thing with Michael Mosley, the podcast I mentioned last time it was my turn. I rather like it because it's a similar setup to ours, I suppose. It's a short form and it's just one thing that you can try. And I think, at least to start with for his episodes, he's pulled on previous topics he's discussed, because this is another one where I remember watching the TV program and thinking at the time, I really should be doing that, and didn't get round to it. So it was a good reminder, and it really is something that's very, very important, actually, and everybody should be doing.
Can I check in with you for a second, Daisy? For those of us not in the UK, what is his TV show? Like, I didn't know he had a show necessarily.
Okay, so I'm not sure he has a specific show, but he used to present or be one of the presenters on a program called Horizon, which is a factual program, a documentary type program, where they tend to investigate something.
Oh, okay.
And they'd be on different subjects. I think it used to be something that was on every week, but it just seems to pop up every now and then as a program. BBC Two program. And this was, a series, more sort of health series. And he was the presenter for that. So there are some very interesting episodes. For example, he did one on HIIT training, high intensity interval training. Mm-hmm. Not sure if I've got that round the right way. And he did the whole thing where you have to go really, really quickly on a bike he used. And so they'll take the principle and they'll research it. And he's quite fun because he usually does the things as well. Mm-hmm. So they had him, they were testing him in labs and things like that. And he would do it as an experiment himself for however long, 6 weeks or something, and test the results and things like that. So he's a very good presenter. He's a doctor, and so he brings his own knowledge to the programs as well. But then obviously he's written books and has this podcast now as well.
Nice.
But yes, it's funny because as I've been listening to some of the episodes, it's like, oh yes, I remember watching that a few years ago. And this was one of those. So this episode, I haven't actually told you what the episode is called Stand on One Leg. And it's all about balance. As I say, I remember watching this program before, and I can remember also thinking about it in terms of watching my mother, who struggles with balance. And it brought to mind actually recently when we all met up for a dog walk and were walking through the forest. And it wasn't an easy walk, but it wasn't overly challenging. But it was things like, a few slopes and stepping over tree roots and things like that. And she really struggles. She struggled here in my flat. Actually, there isn't a handrail at the top of the stairs. So she has a real problem with her balance. And part of that is because she's had a couple of falls and has lost her confidence. So it made me think about that. But I actually have pretty good balance. I tried the things they suggested. So this is another one where I've actually tried the things. I haven't been doing it for long enough to see an improvement yet, but my balance is actually pretty good, but not with my eyes shut. But we'll go on to that in a minute. So good balance. Why is it so important to have good balance? Well, good balance means that you have better posture. You have a significantly reduced risk of injury from falls. And it may also predict how long you will live. But balance is like muscle strength. If you don't use it, you lose it. It also starts to deteriorate, a bit like muscle strength, from about the age of 35, 40. So how do we balance? Just to stay upright, let alone move, takes a lot of coordination in a pretty complex system. Our brain needs to coordinate sensory messages from all over our body, from the balance organs in your inner ear, your joints and muscles, and your eyes. Together, these integrate to tell your brain where you are in your environment and allows you to do things from standing to walking, running, jumping, and so on. As we get older and maybe less active, our muscles get weaker and our brains get a little bit sloppy in integrating these sensory inputs and don't perform quite as well as they used to. But the problems this can lead to when your balance isn't quite as good as it used to be, obviously you've got an increased risk of falling. And the older we get, the less we bounce back from falls like we used to as children. You know, think of a child falling over. Yes, it might cry, but they get up quickly. They bounce back. But as we get older, we don't tend to bounce back so easily. It can be harder to get back up. We might break limbs even, and then possibly become fearful of movement and lack confidence in going out and doing the things that we used to. This in turn might lead to a decrease in social contact, increased isolation, deterioration of mental health, and so on. You can see this cascade that starts up. And according to the World Health Organization, falling is the second most common cause of accidental death worldwide. And apparently it costs the NHS hundreds of millions of pounds every year to treat falls, people who've fallen at home. But also the problem is, if your brain is not coordinating your balance as well as it used to, the chances are good that it is not regulating other systems as well either, like your cardiovascular system and your hormonal systems, for example. So loss of balance can be a very good marker that there's a decline of other things going on. So I did forget to mention at the beginning that it's not just Michael Mosley in the podcast. He had a guest on, Professor Dawn Skelton, who's an exercise physiologist. Okay, so here's the slightly scary bit. There was a study carried out by the Medical Research Council. The study started in 1999 and they tested 2,760 men and women who were 53 years old at the time of the start of the study. And they asked the volunteers to do three different tests. One was grip strength. Another was how many times you could stand up and sit down from a chair unaided, so no arms, in a minute. And then finally, how long they could stand on one leg with their eyes closed. 13 years later, 177 of them had died from various things. But from the data, they found the strongest indicator of whether somebody would die was the standing on one leg test. Those who did poorly, so only managed 2 seconds or less, were 3 times more likely to die over the next 13 years than those who could do 10 seconds or more. So you can see why I said it's pretty important. But it's not all doom and gloom. And as we know with studies, there are often other factors that come into play that might have had more influence. So I don't know how much stock we can put on it. I haven't gone off and read the actual study. But the message is, it's a very important thing that your balance is good. But as I said, it's not all doom and gloom, and it is never too late to improve your balance. Professor Skelton was talking about a woman she was working with who was 93 to improve her balance and was doing very well. So it's never too late. And it's easy to do. It's by far and away better to work on it now in a preventative way rather than try to correct it after a fall. According to Professor Skelton, working on your balance can have an upstream impact on cognition too. Increasing activity is a good thing for general health. We all know that, especially if you have a sedentary lifestyle. And apparently balance in general is deteriorating generation on generation because of the changes in how we tend to live and work. But she says it is key to do specifically balance exercises and not just increase your activity, that it's important to incorporate these balance exercises into your ideally daily routine. Lots of activities that improve balance involve dual tasking, so they make your brain work harder. And apparently there is some suggestion that this helps cognition and potentially lowers and slows the chances of getting dementia later on in life. And then the better your balance, of course, the less likely you are to have a fall. So how do we do this? Generally speaking, you need to challenge your balance system by doing things out of the ordinary, shake things up a bit and test those functions that have got a little bit complacent. And it made me think of an episode of Keto Woman that I recorded with Alan Meisner. And this was something I started doing. He talked about this and how it's important to incorporate different movements in your routine. We're just so used to walking forwards. And he says it's important to start doing other things. Walking backwards, obviously, in a safe environment. Walking backwards, walking side to side, you know, doing some grapevines and things. And I'd forgotten about it until I listened to this podcast that I'd started doing that on my dog walks. It might be a little bit more difficult here with people around, but I would, in the middle of the field, I would start walking backwards and doing some grapevines and things like that. But the point is to just start incorporating some other movements, especially things that involve balance. But the very easiest way to do it is to stand on one leg. You can also use things like wobble boards, and apparently Tai Chi is one of the very best exercises you can do because it's slow, controlled movements. It has good sensory feedback from your joints and has these three-dimensional movements. So, roundabout way to get to what this episode is about, standing on one leg. And he says, and he started off the episode, is it James Clear that talks about stitching on or piggybacking on existing habits that you do automatically? This episode starts with him. You can hear the electric toothbrush going and he's standing on one leg. And he says that's what he does every day. He spends the 2 minutes that he spends cleaning his teeth. He spends 30 seconds on each leg alternating. And another thing they do in the podcast is they get a participant to try it out. So there's a woman who's trying this out that they hear from during the episode. But the important thing is to practice, so to do it regularly. And if you're interested, I'll put a link to an article where there's a bit of a table. I think it's actually an American population reference table, but it shows different ages for how long people who are doing it on average could stand on one leg for and could do the same thing with their eyes closed. You'll have to try it. I actually find it very easy to stand on both legs. I do favor my right leg, I guess because I'm right-handed, I find it slightly easier. But with my eyes open, it's easy. I can last minutes. I could probably stand there for half an hour. As soon as you shut your eyes, though, it becomes very, very difficult. I was dismayed with, I think I might have managed just over 10 seconds on my right foot, but left foot was under 10 seconds. So I'm definitely going to be practicing that. And yeah, so I was dismayed at the difference. But actually, when you think about it, when you think of the logic, if you go back to what he said at the beginning about what's involved in balance, it's this integration of the different sensory inputs. So your balance organs in your inner ear, the feedback from your muscles and your joints, your vision, what you can see. And it makes you realize when you try the same exercise with your eyes closed, it makes you realize just how much you rely on your eyes and what you can see to ground you and keep you stable, keep you balanced. As soon as that goes away, think about it, you know, when you're stumbling in the dark, it's difficult when you can't see to balance. And it just becomes very obvious when you try it, just how different it is. It's funny, you stand there and you feel it, you're constantly trying to correct that movement. I actually found I've just been practicing it a few times over the last few days, and you can feel the muscles in your feet and your ankles correcting that movement. If you become very aware of you doing it, where so when you first do it with your eyes open, but become aware of what's going on and you can feel that correction going on in the foot that's on the ground. And then when you close your eyes, what happens is it's just much more difficult. The correction becomes much wider. It's difficult to explain. You'll feel it when you do it. And you just can't correct with those small movements and you have to put your foot down.
It's interesting. So then without the visual cues, you overcompensate trying to right the balance.
Yes, I think that's what happens. You feel you end up in this real rocking motion that you can't correct. You can't come back into that centered balanced state. But yes, I do recommend doing it next to something like a work surface, because it's very easy to fall over, actually. So have something very solid that you can grab onto. But yes, just try it. Stand on one foot and time yourself. Do it for 30 seconds and then try the other foot and then try it with your eyes closed. Not so easy.
I can guarantee you, for me, it will not be easy. I already don't have great balance. And I have noticed over the past few years that that's getting worse. So I'm glad you brought this up. Something I want to work on or something I want to address.
The good news is that it's one of those things that with fairly small regular input, with something that's relatively easy to do, you can see significant improvements.
I remember it must have been in my 20s. I was in Taekwondo, that was high school, and then maybe in my early 40s, I was into Muay Thai, a type of martial art, boxing. And I could stand on one foot and grab my other foot and extend it out up into the air.
Oh, wow.
And stand there for, you know, a little while. Now I can hardly even extend the leg, let alone stand there for a couple of seconds. But I noticed just in other things when I was working out with a trainer, the moves themselves weren't so challenging for me. The staying upright when you're doing lunges or something where you're on one foot or emphasizing one foot. So that is definitely something I want to work on. And then as you were talking, I don't know if I'm going to explain this question well, but so like you said, there are definitely things we can do to still improve it. And it sounds like that could help for preventing falls and things, not being as susceptible to the danger of falling. But when it comes to the effects it has with, or the sign that it shows that other systems are not working well, like cardiovascular, did you say?
Yes, it was what she was saying was that basically if you start losing your balance, because balance is such a complicated system, it's this integration of all these different parts of your body that your brain has to work incredibly hard to coordinate them all together. To keep you upright, to keep you balanced. And so if your balance isn't working very well, that's an indication that your brain function isn't working as well as it should do. Mm-hmm. And that in turn is an indication that other systems might not be working as well as they should be. Like, for example, your cardiovascular system, your hormonal system. So that was where she was saying it was a good indication that in general, your brain function was not as good as it should be.
So that I would also say for me is definitely true. I'm still trying to get to the bottom of some of this, but definitely my hormonal system is not right. And so I'm curious if that shows in, you know, one indicator of that is my balance. But then the question I have is, and maybe I'm going to answer this myself because I'm already doubting that this is possible. Does improving your balance help improve those other systems? So if I get my balance, my brain working better to coordinate for balance, does it also help coordinate these other systems better? Or is it just a sign that other things aren't working well? They're not causal.
Well, yes, that's exactly what he asked her. And she said, yes, that the suggestion is good, that by doing that, by challenging your brain in that way, by practicing your balance, it does have that upstream effect.
Nice.
Potentially, yes.
Nice.
And if you think about it, I suppose that echoes the kind of, you know, that echoes the neural pathways theme. You know, it echoes the idea of neuroplasticity, that you can rework things.
It's funny that you bring this up this week, because probably within the past 2 weeks, I have purchased a Casper board.
Is that like a wobble board?
It is. And part of it, you can have it under, like while I'm sitting at my desk, you can have your feet on it and you can move back and forth. You can tilt it back and forth, but it's to keep your legs moving.
Oh, okay.
For those people who might benefit from sitting on a exercise ball, it also, it's kind of like a little fidget gadget or something that can help you keep your focus. But it also has a mechanism where you can use it while standing up. And I was thinking that when I purchased it, haven't started doing this yet, but that I would move my laptop over to a high table that I have, about the height of a standing desk, and I have some clear floor space in front of that, and that I could put it there and then just work on my balance and work on movement, because otherwise I'm sitting still so much of the day. And so that engages your core, it engages other muscle. But I hadn't known that there might be any impact on my overall balance, which might also have some influence on other systems. So this is very interesting.
And it's a subtle way of really quite improving your core strength as well. You can feel it. Like I say, if you become really aware of what's going on, and you become more aware of it, I guess, when your eyes are closed, but then when you refer that back to when you're doing it with your eyes open and become more aware of all the muscles and all the things that are moving and trying to keep you upright. It's quite interesting. I thought it was a very good point that, yeah, like I said, everybody knows it's good to be active. It's good to have a certain amount of movement in your life, but that it's very important to incorporate some of these specific balance exercises. And that often something I imagine that people don't necessarily think about. We all know about losing muscle strength, but it sounds like it's just as important that you not lose your balance muscles either.
Very interesting. Now I'm going to have to get my Casper board out and really start practicing that.
And that's what I've been doing. I've been standing on one leg doing the washing up.
Nice.
But with my eyes open.
Otherwise, you'll be brushing your ear instead of your teeth.
So that's a very easy thing that you can try. Takes very little time and could improve and lengthen your life even.
I am all about that, Daisy. Very excited that you shared this. And I'm just a little bit antsy in my chair, ready to get up and test it out and see how long I can balance on one leg with my eyes closed and start working on improving it. So thank you for this topic today. Everybody have a great week.
Have a great week. I'm going to make you do it now.